two friends taking pictures of the rising full moon on a summer night.
Two teenage kids doing what teenage kids do.
When a stranger with a gun and a death wish changed everything.
It was violent, it was senseless, and I will never understand it, I will never accept it.
I'm Amy Donaldson, and unfortunately, we're all too familiar with stories about how violence shatters lives. But what we rarely see is how they are rebuilt. In a new podcast, The Letter, we relive tragedy, but only so we can hear the rest of the story. The struggle to reclaim lives, the realities of grief, and the possibilities of forgiveness.
I believe in miracles. Sometimes I thought, there are no miracles. Yeah, there are, and this is a big one.
Follow The Letter at theletterpodcast.com or wherever you get your podcasts.
Utah's best athletes count on flexibility, speed, strength.
And the Jazz pick up their 22nd assist.
So they count on University of Utah Health.
Brielle Soleil puts this game away.
And so can you. Leading doctors, a world-class environment, award-winning innovation, care to be great.
14 unanswered by the Utes.
University of Utah Health, caring for Utah's best and yours. Schedule your appointment now at uofuhealth.org/care to be great.
Looking for the latest on the Jazz, Utes, Cougars, and Aggies?
Yeah,
we've got you covered. This is Hans Olsen and Scotty G, presented by U First Credit Union on 97.5, the Sports Zone.
Olson, Scott Girard, 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone. Previewing some of the upcoming opponents for Utah, Utah State, BYU. How about talking a little Roll Tide, Hans?
It's not a bad idea, man.
Charlie Potter's going to join us here in a moment, covering Alabama football, basketball, for Bama Online 24/7 and 24/7 Sports. Chat with him, get his thoughts on Nick Saban. Never a dull moment. Covering Nick Saban, I'm sure.
Yeah. Always in the running, man. It would be just every year feeling about the same way about a football team.
Charlie Potter joins us now. Again, covers Alabama football and basketball for Bama Online 24/7, part of 24/7 Sports. Charlie, how you doing?
Hey, Charlie.
Hey, guys. I'm great. Thanks for having me.
Excited to chat with you. I'm going to, full disclosure here, I do the play-by-play for Utah State, so we are going to, I will be in Tuscaloosa in early September. Just how miserable is that humidity going to be?
Yeah, it's going to be hot. It is currently, it's only 90 right now, but it's pretty thick outside. The good news is, what is that, it's a 6:30 kick, so it should be cooling down by kickoff, but leading up to it, the day will be pretty hot, no doubt.
What's worse, humidity or heat?
The humidity. You know, I was out trying to do some exercise earlier, and it's just a sickness. As soon as you walk outside, you can feel it. The humidity, you can go to different places. It's hot. Like, you can go up to New York. You can go out on the West Coast. It's hot. But when you add humidity to it, there's a difference.
Well, every year, Nick Saban produces a really, really good team. And so you get used to them either being one or very close to being ranked first in the country. Where does this year's team, though, rank in terms of Alabama teams you've seen in the past in terms of overall talent?
You know, it's up there. It's talented. I think it helps whenever you have the top two players in the country on both sides of the ball with Bryce Young at quarterback and Will Anderson at linebacker. I've covered, this is my ninth season covering Alabama for 24/7 Sports, and there's been some special teams. That 2020 team obviously was really special. It was significant, you know, going undefeated against only Power 5 competition in a pandemic-affected year. But you know, this team, if they put it all together, they can be really special. Again, it starts with that leadership. They have a ton of veterans back on the defensive side of the ball. They have playmakers at the skill positions on offense. If this offensive line can come together like it's you know, seemingly doing so far in camp, if they can get some wide receivers to step up and be more consistent around Bryce Young and give him, one, time to throw the offensive line, and two, you know, some quality targets out there to catch the ball, this offense can continue to roll like it has the last few years we've seen with the evolution of this football program. And then defensively with, you know, eight starters back in their nickel defense, it's just a proven and veteran group. They're not happy with the way the season ended last year. The last 15 or so minutes of the season was not up to their liking, up to their standards. So they've been motivated all off season long to rectify that. And, you know, with a lot of key pieces back and then some key additions to this defense, I think, you know, they're ready to make their claim for one of the best of the Saban era.
I like that you've covered the team for so many years, Charlie. And as you've covered these individual teams and you've watched them through the years, how much of this success is Nick Saban? How much would it be if you brought in a different head coach? How much different would it be? How much of this is Nick, what we're seeing?
Well, I think, you know, everyone knows he's a great recruiter. You know, arguably the best the game's ever seen. But, you know, the development of these players is key as well. And then the messaging, the buy-in. At a place like Alabama where they've seen so much success, it's easy to get complacent. But that's exactly what he preaches, that process that everybody talks about. It's all about, you know, winning your play, focusing on what you need to do, your job. It's not about, you know, winning the game and putting more points on the scoreboard, even though that's obviously the objective. If you do your job, those things will come. And sure, there could be other coaches that see success with the resources they have in Tuscaloosa, but to get the players here and then to get the most out of them, it takes a special person. And, you know, Nick Saban has been that. Everybody knows what Alabama is traditionally as a football school, with some of the great coaches they've had, obviously with Bear Bryant being the top of the list. But to duplicate that and even surpass that the last 15 years, Nick Saban going in his 16th year as head coach here, it's unbelievable. And, you know, to be asked like the first question about where does this team rank in terms of the teams that I've covered, given that they've had six teams that have won national championships since 2009 here, it's a run that I don't think is appreciated as much as it should be, and one that when it is over, you know, there's going to be books, movies, whatever you want to say, just because what they're doing in Tuscaloosa is unprecedented, and it's extremely special.
Utah State picked up a transfer from Alabama, wide receiver Xavier Williams, who's trying to work his way into the rotation. Give me your thoughts on what your opinion was on him when he was at Alabama, and what led to him ultimately deciding to go somewhere else.
Yeah, I mean, I think that he was a good kid and well liked in the locker room. You know, he had the medical condition that kept him out when he was here, and now he's obviously been cleared of that. But wide receiver is a tough rotation to crack. They recruit that position really well. I mean, just look at the last three NFL drafts. They've had five first-round draft picks at that position alone. And, you know, they return a lot of talent. They have brought in talent from the high school ranks, from the transfer portal ranks. So there's always dudes in that group here. So it's tough. We see attrition there all the time. You had three guys enter the draft this year. You had a couple of guys enter the transfer portal. That's not even including Xavier, who did so well before that. So it's a tough room to get a leg up in, and it's because of the way that they recruit. But, you know, I think I did weekly previews of Alabama's opponents over the course of the summer, counting down from Auburn all the way up to Utah State being the most recent. And I included him as a player to watch because clearly that's going to be one of the storylines going into this season opener, just a familiar face on the opposite sideline. And I think if he's consistent in his performance and keeps his head down, he can be a contributor for the Aggies. So I know a lot of people will probably be excited to see him before the game, after the game, things like that. But yeah, I mean, it's just one of those. Alabama recruits the wide receiver position really well. They also recruit wide receivers out of Florida really well. And he was among that group. But just, you know, with things that happened out of his control, it didn't really work out here.
Give us your take on the Nick Saban-Jimbo Fisher back and forth.
You know, I like a good quiet June as much as the next person, or May. Heck, I don't even remember when that happened. That felt like a year ago at this point. So that was a little, I didn't appreciate that as much to be writing about a public feud between two of the highest profile head coaches in the sport. But, you know, I think with Nick Saban, he regrets having mentioned some schools by name specifically. But I still think he agrees, or he stands by what he said. I think a lot of people agree that with name, image, and likeness, he's all for it from a player standpoint, for them to be able to benefit off of their own name, image, and likeness. It shouldn't be a tool to recruit players to come to schools, but it is that. But he also pointed out how that's not illegal. You know, every team, if they choose to do that, they have the right to do it because there's no consequences for that, really. It just adds even more of a headache to head coaches across the country to have to deal with stuff like that. So I think Nick Saban regrets the way that it was portrayed initially, but I was also really surprised by the way that Jimbo Fisher came out swinging and saying some of the stuff he did say about Nick Saban and, you know, completely denying the claims, because we've seen now video of his assistant coaches on recruiting trips basically come out and say that they're doing that. So it's, you know, college football right now, college sports in general, it's the wild, wild west. But, you know, to see a shootout like that between two head coaches, it was pretty crazy, and it only intensifies that October 8th matchup whenever the Aggies travel to Tuscaloosa, as if it wasn't already going to be a big game, given Texas A&M beating Alabama last year. That just adds fuel to this fire, and it's one that I think the Alabama players took note of the way that the Jimbo Fisher handled this, the things they said about their head coach, and it should be an interesting one come early October, no doubt.
So it's interesting. I'm kind of curious to get your thoughts on the motivation of Nick Saban, because he's been pretty upfront and honest about how he would like to see Congress get involved in some level of legislation to try to, you know, at least put in some level of regulation in terms of what's going on with NIL and some of those other things. And he says, you know, look, we're the haves are really going to separate from the have-nots. Well, there's very few haves that have more than Alabama. So this works in his favor if they want to go that route, and they could spend as much money as anybody else in the country. So why is Nick, when it seems to be going in Alabama's favor, why would Nick want to maybe try to bring and rein this in a little bit?
Yeah, well, the thing about him is he's always been an advocate for what's best for college football. You know, I mean, Alabama's made damn near every college football playoff, but he talks about how that's not great. The system in place is not great for the rest of the country in bowl games, because the significance and the attention placed on bowl games is taken away because everybody's focused on the Final Four and what's going on with the New Year's Eve semifinals and then the national championship game. Alabama's going to be in that more often than not, especially if they expand the field. You're just bettering Alabama's chances of being in the playoffs and contention for a national championship. But he has advocated that you don't want to take away the importance of bowl games, because he knows, coming from some other programs, like making his way up in the coaching ranks, how important that is. And now with this, he's all for players getting money off of their name, image, and likeness to make money because they can. They've always been able to make money, and now that they can do it a little easier just because of, you know, the players that they are and the interest in them, he's all for that. But when it comes to just, you know, people throwing money at high school kids to get them to come to school, he doesn't agree with it. And yes, Alabama can do that. They are among the haves, and he knows that they're in a situation where they can, you know, they are a big dog. They can run with the big dogs, but everybody can't, and that's not good for college football. And so, you know, that's why people mention him as someone that, if there were to be a commissioner of the Power Five, I guess, or college football in general, he would be a great candidate for it. I don't know if that's something he'd want to do, because, you know, every time he's asked about retiring, he always talks about being a part of a team. I truly believe he means that. I think he wouldn't know what to do if he took another opportunity, but he always looks at the big picture. That's why covering these press conferences, you know, when he says something, people listen, and it's important to share those words because everyone wants to know Nick Saban's opinion on it, because usually it's measured. He's thought about it. He's not just throwing something against the wall and seeing if it sticks. And especially in the big picture issues and topics of the sport, he has feelings about it, and oftentimes it's about trying to do what's best for college football.
So, with you covering the SEC in Alabama for so many years and knowing that conference the way you know it, what was the reception for Texas and Oklahoma? And in your opinion, in your coverage, is the expansion of that conference done for the time being, or is it just getting started?
Yeah, I mean, I try to keep blinders on and focus on Alabama. I work for the Alabama website, but it's hard not to deal with the expansion talk. I think that, outside of probably Texas A&M, everybody was pretty excited to get Texas and Oklahoma into the SEC. And I don't think they're finished. I mean, I think we're heading toward those super conferences for sure. And it'll be interesting to see, what teams they go after next, because, Greg Sankey and the SEC, it's all about the dollar. You're looking at the marketing aspects of it. They want to go where they don't have a school in that market, places probably like in North Carolina. You can look at maybe Virginia, something like that. They have the Florida market with Florida. You could always look at maybe FSU or Miami, I'm sure. I don't know how much, Florida, teams like South Carolina would be excited to see Florida State and Clemson, but those would be, near the top of the list of teams that you would just spitball and try to predict going in the SEC. But yeah, I don't think they'd be finished at 16. I think a lot of these, whether it's the SEC or the Big Ten, they're probably moving to 20, if not more. And it'll be interesting to see kind of the way that evolves, because these things kind of happen quickly. I mean, look at the USC and UCLA stuff going on with the Pac-12 to the Big Ten. I don't know if Alabama, but if the SEC will look to go out to the West Coast and expand that footprint even further, stretching across the entire country. But I definitely think some of the teams to the north of them, or definitely to the east, they'll look to, and I'm sure that those teams will only add to the value of the SEC, which is significantly higher than all the other conferences.
Best dinner spot in Tuscaloosa? Good place to go grab a meal?
Oh, there's a lot. I think it's open again. Avenue Pub kind of moved and went to a bigger location. They've got one of the best burgers in town. A lot of these places you can grab a cold drink too, because it's going to be hot. There's a couple of breweries and stuff. But yeah, you can't miss. If you're coming to town, there's a lot of barbecue. Archibald's is well known. Dreamland, there's a debate on which is the best, but you can't go wrong with either, really. So yeah, it's for the most part, most people are going to steer you in the right direction. If you've heard of it, maybe don't go to a chain or something like that. There's plenty of places that are unique to Tuscaloosa that are going to offer you a good meal and a good drink.
No Olive Garden is what you're saying. Okay.
Yeah, there is one, but I mean, if you want to feel like family, sure, go ahead, but there's other options.
Is there kind of a unique mom and pop teppanyaki? My guy over here loves a good teppanyaki.
It was next to the hotel. Yeah, I don't want to. We don't need to go down this path again.
I don't think so.
Yeah.
he'll find it. He'll sniff it out and he'll let you know.
Charlie, appreciate your time, man. Thanks for coming on.
Thanks, Charlie.
Yeah, no problem, guys. Thanks
for having me. You got it. Charlie Potter covers Alabama football, basketball for Bama Online 24/7.
I'm with him. We're talking about the super conferences. I actually think that the way he talks is much like the conversations that I've had with a lot of different coaches.
Foregone conclusion.
It's happening, and I don't know when it's going to happen, but it feels like with these teams that are jumping and the moves that are being made kind of knee-jerk-like, it feels like we're headed to it quicker than we are later. And I'm fine with it. Let's get there. Wherever we need to be, let's get there. I am glad, though, we've got college football kicking off, and this stuff will get put behind us. And we'll be talking about college football. Honestly, I wish Utah State wasn't playing Alabama. I don't even want it.
Yeah. I
don't want it for them.
I don't really want to go to Tuscaloosa either. Went to LSU. It's hot. I lost my dream catcher.
Yeah, that's like the
I can tell that's weighing on you. Actually, it wasn't there. I brought it home. It was in my bag, and my bag got stolen. So
wait, you said you left it there.
I did not leave it there. No, it was. I've always told you this. It was in my bag, and my bag got stolen.
How do they even recruit to Alabama? I know they've got these facilities, but step outside of the facility, and you're like, this place sucks. This is like the worst part of the United States of America.
It's hot.
Alabama is the armpit. Like, if you were to just...
Best thing to come out of there is my cousin Vinny.
If you were to get a big giant and just live in his armpit, that's Alabama.
Sweaty,
hairy.
Stinky, hairy.
Yeah, hairy.
They got that red mud that gets up in the tires.
Oh, yeah.
The red mud.
And those rainstorms.
In the tire. Oh, my gosh. Like, what? How? How do they get people to Alabama?
You know how many people have come up to me like, hey, how excited are you to go to Alabama? I'm like, I'm not.
Not.
I could send.
But the football field, too. I mean, that's got a little history there. That sounds kind of cool, doesn't it? That part of it?
No, not really.
Not even that aspect of it?
I don't even care about that. No.
I don't care about Tuscaloosa, but maybe the.
I played in that stadium.
It's not Death Valley.
I hated it. I forgot I played there.
Yeah, you did. Did you win?
Well, I'll get your food suggestions for me. I know where a good teppanyaki is.
All right. Hans, give me your Tuscaloosa restaurant.
I don't remember much of it. I do remember that they've got this giant elephant that rears its head back and blows this loud sound, and everybody
goes, stadium,
Roll Tide, or something stupid.
Roll Tide.
Roll Tide. Something stupid like that. Screw Alabama. They suck.
Well, they're pretty good, actually.
Well, I know they're good. I'm sick of them being good.
I'm
with
you.
Nick Saban would retire and become like a commissioner of the power conferences, and then Alabama could get back
and then
to...
Texas A&M gets put on the new death penalty from Commissioner Saban.
Oh, that would be funny. Let's get to first order of business here. Jimbo Fisher and the...
Texas A&M Aggies. Yeah, you're not playing this season, and next season you have to sit out too. Well, what do we do? You know what you did.
Can anybody make sense of this to me? How is Alabama the national powerhouse in the college football
No, game? It's a great point.
Please, well, anybody?
It's a lot like Nebraska. How did Nebraska all of a sudden, you know...
When they were owning it.
Exactly,
they
and they're still...
owned it.
The three of us were at that stadium. That stadium is like one of the coolest cathedral-like stadiums of all of college football. It's still Lincoln, Nebraska, for crying out loud.
And they're not even good anymore, but it doesn't matter.
Doesn't
they
matter.
They still show up.
Yeah.
Oh, man, I don't know.
There's so much of like the luck of the draw on some of these universities. I went to Washington State. Pullman... We couldn't even stay. There was no hotels available in Pullman. Like, we had to stay in some city in Idaho and bus to Pullman because Pullman is such a tiny city. Logan makes Pullman look small. I mean,
Pullman's dirty, man.
And so how did this team have a Pac-12 team in it? Same with Corvallis.
Like, I believe that we had to fly into Coeur d'Alene and drive to Pullman. Like, I think that tells you how out there Pullman is. Because you don't fly into Pullman unless you've got some type of dual-engine airplane, like some type of spray plane, crop sprayer. You don't fly into Pullman. But the crazy thing is, Nick Saban's not the only coach to win there.
No. I mean, you got Bear Bryant. You got tons of history there.
I want to know. There's something about it that's so. If Nick Saban was gone, and they put in,
When we drove into Baton Rouge for LSU, Baton Rouge is the armpit right there. I mean, it was not a particular nice city. And you're thinking you have one of, and that year they did win the national championship. That was Joe Burrow's year at LSU. And you're thinking, why is this massive university with this massive football team
here
and all this success, why is it here of
here.
All places?
I don't get it. And I'm not happy that Alabama's on Utah State's schedule. Utah State isn't where they need to be right now to go to Tuscaloosa. And I'm not even saying to go win. I'm saying I don't want that team to be on that field at that point in the season before they take on Mountain West Conference opponents when they're trying to keep a quarterback healthy, or they're trying to get him healthy and then keep him healthy. You're trying to figure out an offensive line, which trying to figure out an offensive line and going to Tuscaloosa is never a good thing. You don't want to be unsure about your offensive line.
Yeah.
Having a true freshman on the front going against Alabama is a really tough thing to handle. He's going to be dealing with a lot of anxieties and emotions. Like, Alabama wasn't even that good when we went to play him, and I think I was a junior. And I was even like, wow, this is Alabama. This is a big deal.
Yeah, but if you play them 10 times, they might win 9. Okay. No. One time. No. That one game.
Not tonight.
Hey, boy, that was a game. 1998. Oh, you had Sean Alexander on that Alabama team.
I knew there was some running back.
Do you know the score of that game, though? Do you remember off the top of your head?
What do you mean, like, some running back? He was good.
He was really good.
He was an NFL
really
MVP.
Good.
Was it like 26-10? 23-10? 24-10? 38-31. Oh, okay. Yeah. I don't know how
you guys tied that up in the third quarter.
Way off.
24-24. Sean Alexander.
Those games don't stick with players like they do with coaches.
No, I don't even care.
Sean Alexander had 5 touchdowns in that game.
Yeah, I didn't do that. I think that was Hulk. No, I'm not even going to put it on Hulk.
He was going to the other side.
Will Snowden had a pretty decent average, 4 carries, 27 yards.
Is that a guy?
Sean Alexander, 26 carries, 132 yards, and 5 touchdowns.
He had 5 touchdowns?
Yeah.
Dang it, I wish I could blame the DBs in that game.
Not a lot of run support from those guys.
From
the defensive backs. You know,
oh, yeah, out. No, yeah. No, I thought you were saying from the front line.
No.
That was, hey, look, man, I could only eat so many gaps
exactly.
Up and blockers
that's
up,
it.
Scotty.
You were just eating blockers, and those guys needed to come in and run support.
You are going to hate that stadium, and you're going to hate your time there. I sure do.
Well, I hated my time at LSU, so.
What's crazy, this is how I remember it. There's a 2-lane highway that goes for like 10 miles to get into the stadium and get out of the stadium, and it's the only way in and a way out. And they force all the cars to the sides of the road.
Oh, yeah, because you got the escort.
While the bus comes down, and all these Alabama fans get outside of their car, and they don't throw the nicest gestures and sayings and comments at you. It's not pleasant. In fact, it's foul. Some of the most foul language I've ever heard in my life.
You had one tackle in that game.
Well, Scotty, it wasn't the best game of my life, if I remember right.
Rob Morris had 13 tackles, 10 solo, 2 sacks.
Oh. It wasn't Rob's fault we lost him.
Who's Brad Martin? That name doesn't ring a bell.
He's the linebacker that's passed away. He's the one that overdosed.
Heshy Robertson?
Hashi? Yeah, he was our corner. How did he do?
He had, let's see here, 9 tackles.
How'd Chris Hoke do?
Let's see, where is Hoke? You and Hoke, same stat line, 1 yeah. tackle. Each a solo tackle.
Did you guys even play?
They didn't run at us, Lloyd. they ran at the outside.
Hoke did have a TFL, though. His 1 tackle was a TFL.
They ran at the outside all game long. They just kept hitting the outside, going on the outside.
Justin Enna had a couple tackles, 1 TFL in that game.
Well, that was fun reliving that.
Hey, it was a close game. 38-31. You'll take that.
It was actually, there were a lot of fun parts of it. But they weren't this Alabama team.
No.
They were just so-so. But that Sean Alexander, was that who it was?
Yep.
He was good.
Hands of Scotty, 97.5. Miles is with us once again from Wasatch Medical. And Miles, if you are looking for an opportunity to improve your situation in the bedroom, you don't need the little blue pill. Because let's be honest, there's probably guys that you talk to all the time that have been on that thing for maybe decades. And the more they take, the worse the side effects get, the less it does work. And so that means you have to take more, and it makes the side effects even worse. So let's get it squared away. You don't have to go down that path anymore.
You don't. And you know what? Harvard reported that the pill doesn't even work on 30% of guys. I think they're trying to find a flight from Pullman. The pill's not working. I'm
just kidding. Nice.
So again, guys, realistically, here's the deal. You can deal with your ED through surgery, needles and injections. You can do the pill if it works. They all come with side effects, especially the pill, the lack of spontaneity, the sudden rush of blood, blurred vision, shakiness. It's just, let's put a little less chemicals in our body and use a technology called acoustic wave therapy. The little machine sits on the skin, helps the blood vessels expand to allow for more blood flow, guys, but oftentimes these blood vessels are repairing themselves. We're treating the root cause of ED without the need for pills, chemicals, needles, surgery, any of that stuff.
801-901-8000. You get that phone call, and you're going to get that free assessment, a chance to actually talk to a physician, and you get all that information for free to make an educated decision as to whether or not you want to proceed.
That's right. The exam, assessment, blood flow, ultrasound, all free of charge. Plus, because we're awesome, we give you a gift just for coming in. Provides powerful results in the bedroom, guys. You're not going to pay anything for any of this. It's all worth hundreds of dollars. Log on to WasatchMedicalClinic.com, chat with us there, or give us a call at 801-901-8000.
801-901-8000. Call that number right now. 801-901-8000 right here on The Zone.
This is DJ and PK.
Bill Bender, national college football writer for The Sporting News.
I've said a couple times, I'm not saying it because I'm on your station. You can go look up on other ones if you need to. The Utah-Florida game is one of the most interesting pieces of the college football playoff puzzle in week one. Because if Utah wins that game, I think they give themselves the flexibility where they could lose a game in the Pac-12, go 12-1, win the Pac-12, and finally break through and get in. And not just be a conversation piece at the end of the season, but somebody that could actually get in. I mean, I think the last impression nationally people have of Utah is a team that ran with Ohio State 3.5 quarters.
Catch DJ and PK mornings from 6 to 10 on 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone.
2 years ago, Americans watched in horror as a crisis unfolded at the Kabul airport.
She was tear gassed and beaten.
Images of thousands desperate to escape Taliban oppression filled our news feeds. More than 80,000 Afghans made it to America. But the story didn't end there.
It was very cold. There was no power, no heat.
Who would help our newest neighbors? I'm Andrea Smartin. In Stranger Becomes Neighbor, you'll hear the stories of some remarkable refugees who left their homes and their dreams behind, only to start over from zero.
Their only possession was 3 blankets.
And you'll meet Americans who stepped up to help them.
You want me to come when you deliver your baby.
What can one person do in the face of an international disaster decades in the making? That's Stranger Becomes Neighbor. Find us at kslpodcast.com. Follow us on Apple Podcasts or anywhere else you listen.
The wheel is loaded, and it's time to talk some sports. This is Sports Roulette with Hanson Scotty, presented by U First Credit Union on 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone.
Hans Olsen, Scott Girard, 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone. Time for another edition of Sports Roulette. We take some of the big storylines we have not had a chance to get to. We put on a roulette wheel, we spin it, and wherever that little ball lands is where we end up, what we end up talking about. So with that, Lloyd, fire up that old wheel.
Play it again, Sam.
So Sam Merrill got picked up by the Sacramento Kings.
Sacramento Kings. He and Nemesh Keita on the court, at least through training camp together. Keita certainly had himself a nice summer league. Sam's dealt with an injury, cost him his spot with the Grizzlies. Or excuse me, no, he got traded. No, he went from Milwaukee to the Grizzlies. Mm-hmm. That's right. And but we'll have an opportunity show up in camp. It's a partial guarantee contract, I believe. Mm-hmm. And so he'll have to fight. But, yeah, it'd be good to see him back out on the court for sure.
He's got a championship with the Bucks, as you mentioned, was with the Grizzlies for a minute. But he did win the championship with the Bucks, right?
Yes, he was on that championship team.
So headed now to go be with the Sacramento Kings, is that a death knell?
I don't think so. I think that's the kind of team you want that will have opportunities available for you. Because there's a lot of roster spots that are available on teams like that. So
stay under the radar a little bit. And
yeah. They got to put somebody together on that roster. So I think it's a good move for him. I think that's a good fit. And hopefully he's able to continue to carve out somewhat of a career for himself.
It'll be fun to watch Nemish Keita as well and see if he's able to put something together for Sacramento.
I think Keita starts breaking in. I know he spent kind of half and half with the Kings and with their G League team last year, but I think Keita is going to get some more opportunities. That summer league he put together was really impressive to watch.
Well, good luck to Sam.
Spin it.
They're rattled.
So, Scotty, Tiger Woods has scheduled a meeting.
Yes.
With 20 of the top PGA Tour players and anybody else that's influential with the PGA Tour to talk about what they're going to do about LIV Golf. How they're going to combat it, how they're going to come together, unify, and continue to fight LIV Golf. The PGA Tour and the tour players, they're rattled. Because they're losing some pretty good talent.
Yeah.
And there's a chance that they lose more pretty good talent. And there's a chance that these players, these LIV Tour players, play in the Masters next year. There's a chance that, and I don't know what they're going to do with the qualification numbers. I'm not real privy to all that just yet. But what I do know is when Tiger Woods is taking his time to call a meeting of the minds and bring everybody together, when you're in the middle of the FedEx Cup playoffs, you've got round two that's beginning in 2 days. It's the BMW Championship in Wilmington. And you're worried about the LIV Tour? You're rattled.
Yeah.
You're shook. Something's going on. The LIV is getting traction. And it's under the skin of Tiger Woods, and it's under the skin of some of these players. I don't know how you as a player come together. This is the tour's problem. This is not the player's problem. If I'm one of the top 20 players and I get a call, hey, this is Tiger, we need to meet about this thing. Meet about what? Well, you know, about us unifying and being a part of the tour. What are you talking about? If the tour is worried about this and if the PGA Tour really needs to fix this, then they need to fix it.
Feels like a weird players-only meeting you see pop up every now and then.
Well, you know, I'll tell you what, it feels a little bit. It feels like Tiger Woods is strong-arming them a little bit. Hey, you won't take a phone call from LIV. You will not take the money. You will not leave. And what we're going to do is we're going to unify. And that would be as dumb as Utah or BYU signing a grant of rights agreement that locks them into the Pac-12 or the Big 12. You'd be stupid to do it.
Can't believe I'm going to say this, but like, the players got to be like, okay, Tiger, look at your bank account and look at my bank account. Yeah. Well, you have a billion.
That's what I was going to say. If you've got, like, we use, even though he came out and said there's no way he'd ever join the LIV, but the old Declodinger, Troy Merritt, that's the guy that if I were him and the LIV were coming after me, I would have a hard time saying no. If they said, hey, look, here's $50 million, and he's scratched out a nice little living for himself, he's made a few million dollars, but to have that kind of stability and know that he's going to be fine and his family's going to be fine and he doesn't have to scratch and claw to make cuts every go-around and his card is hanging by a thread at any given moment. And then you get Tiger coming like, no, how dare you? Come on, you can't do that. Like, no, Tiger, look at you. You got a yacht. You got your own golf course in Jupiter, Florida.
You just announced you're a billionaire.
Yeah, like, I need to worry about myself. So unless you're willing to give me $50 million of your dollars, then it's something that will always be on the table for me.
I put out a poll question in regards to this. I just wanted to gauge people's feelings. And the poll question was something along the lines of, if you're a tour player in that situation of Troy Merritt, you know, you're just the bubbled tour player, Or slightly above the bubble, because you got to be interesting enough to the LIV Tour that they come and offer you the $25 million or whatever. Would you take it? And it's like, there's over 1,000 votes, and 78% said, yeah, take the money. Take the blood money. Because everybody's taking blood money.
Mm-hmm.
Let's not make it about who's giving the money, because then we just all have to get real particular of who we're collecting a check from. And if the tour came, 78% of those people said they'd take it.
Need there to be a player. Tiger's not the right player for this. Like, is there a player that...
No,
the other players respect.
I don't think so.
That doesn't have that money.
I don't think so, because there isn't a player that's in that situation that would get a meeting together of the 20 best players. By the way, this meeting is going to go down in the Wilmington Country Club just before this thing tees off, before your round two of the FedEx Cup tees off. That's how shook these guys are.
Maybe Tiger does that kind of
more things to worry about than that.
Would you really want Tiger? It'd be like, I don't know, who's a... It'd be like Bob Costas or, I don't know, Brian Gumbel being like, well, hey, everybody, Hans, Scotty, Lloyd, need you to meet me at the Wilmore Country Club. We're going to talk about staying where we are. And you're sitting there looking at this guy that's got $500 million in the bank, and you're like...
Shut up.
Bryant, just so you know, this is where I'm at financially.
I don't care if you are talking real sports, Brian.
I don't know if they're going to be keeping me around here much longer. I'm hoping.
Glad you're feeling pretty good about things. You can draw that line in the sand, Bryant.
What I would tell them is I don't have time for this, man. I'm trying to win. I'm trying to do my show.
Yeah.
I'm trying to go out and win a tournament, Tiger. I don't have time to meet with you about something that is the tour's problem.
Yeah.
I've said this long ago. This is... The PGA Tour has to come to bat, because you've always had professional leagues, the big powerhouses, that buy out the competitor. Well, you've got a situation where you can't buy out the competitor. The UFC has systematically bought out every major fight card that has assembled. They've just crushed it, bought it out. They've gone and got the fighters that made any type of name for themselves in that card, and they brought them over. Fedor Emelianenko, who was like 65 and nothing and was fighting for this fight card, and the UFC is like, oh, well, yeah, better come here for a minute. And then that fight card falls apart. That's what they do. The NFL does it anytime any football league starts to get competitive. NFL crushes them out. Right now, the PGA Tour is looking at like, we can't crush them out. We can't buy them out.
Don't have the money for it. Yeah.
So it's a really incredible sample in sports of the big guy is no longer the big guy. There's a new bully. And Tiger Woods is like, oh, no, everybody that's come together, we're all going to unify. If I'm one of the 20, I'm like, I'm not unifying with anything. If the LIV Tour throws me a better contract offer, screw it, man. Playing less golf, making more money.
Let's go.
Yes, but you won't be able to get the 15 majors. Okay, how much... It's the 15 majors. How much of that's going to really help me in 25 years with generational wealth, Tiger, if I can ever get there?
Yeah.
I'm going to take the money.
Yep.
Plus, what's the odds you stay? Let's say you stay and you play in the tour. What are the odds of you becoming a 15-time major winner or even a one-time major winner?
Not great.
They don't exist. It's... I mean, I know I've sounded like I'm making an argument that I would go to the LIV Tour, and that's because I would. I would. I'd go to the LIV Tour.
Well, I don't know if I would or not, but what I won't do is get on some soapbox and say, how dare they? I would never, blah, 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 blah. Like, no, I'm not doing that, because I'm not in that situation, and I'm not going to be pulling if... And we've joked about this all the time. If the LIV Tour said, hey, look, we want to start a radio show. Hans, Scotty, you want to host this show? We'll give you $20 million a year to do it. And I would say...
Not without Lloyd.
Not without my daughter.
Give me back my son. And the three of us able to jump ship, would I turn that down? Probably not. And I think it's hypocritical of people to say that they wouldn't do that.
And if somebody was trying to assemble a meeting to get me to sign away that I wouldn't, I'd be like...
And Bob Costas comes in and goes, Hans, no, You know, you and Scotty on that $35,000 a year contract you're on, you need to stay put.
Do you understand how many Olympics I've called and what this means to the integrity of those calls if you guys leave?
Bob, if you don't get away from me, I'm going to turn that pink guy into a rash on your skin. So back up.
You want to see a flare-up? I got a flare-up for you.
Turn your two pink eyes into black eyes. How does that sound, Bob?
All right, wrap things up. Get you ready for Unrivaled next. 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone.
This is Unrivaled.
You guys are doing a hell of a job.
How many games do you want them to win then?
None. Can you win none? I want. I don't care.
There would actually be something amazing to watch about an 0-82 basketball team, even if it was so ridiculous, like they were 9-73, something like that.
I want the team to play poorly for the next couple of years, and then buy
next
season.
Couple of years.
Well, and then buy season tickets, and then this team will start its surge.
That is unbelievable.
Catch Unrivaled with Scott Mitchell and Alex Keery weekdays from 3 to 7 on 97.5 The KSL Sports Zone.
Number one.
Miss any part of the show? Every moment of every show is available in podcast form by searching Hans and Scotty on your favorite podcasting platform or online at kslsports.com. This is Hans Olsen and Scotty G, presented by You First Credit Union on 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone.
Scotty, 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone. So I found some audio during the break. I want you to hear this real quick before we go.
Things you don't want to hear from your receiver for $500.
Well, I didn't know if this was a big deal or not. And a lot of times I'll see something, I'm like, ooh, this seems like a problem. And then you're like, it's not. It's just camp. That's what happens. No, don't worry about it. So this is Garrett Wilson, wide receiver for the New York Jets. With Zach Wilson out and Joe Flacco getting the number one reps, he was asked the difference between passes from Zach Wilson and Joe Flacco, and here's his response.
The difference between catching balls from Flacco as opposed to Zach Wilson?
Yeah, there's definitely a difference. You know, it's a lot of experience right there with Flacco, and you know, I feel like everything with him is he takes some pace off, can put pace on the ball. You know, he kind of does a good job of making the passes, you know, receiver friendly. That's the best way I can put it into words. You know, it's they're pretty easy to catch. It takes them off the ball when you're running the slant route versus, you know, out route to put some zip on it because it got to be, you know, things like that. So I'll say that.
That's all you need to say. I'll say I'm going to leave it there. No, just there. You sure you don't want to go any further?
Anything else you want to say? I don't think that's a real... Okay, this is my...
Yeah, but there's a code here, Scotty. There's a code. Yeah, and you know the code. Like, you don't back... And it's like...
If I'm Zach Wilson, I'm coming out of anesthesia, and I'm listening to that, I'm like, hey, man.
So my passes aren't receiver-friendly? It's not like Garrett Wilson needs to try to build the confidence of Joe Flacco. He's got a Super Bowl. He's been there a long, long time.
Garrett's a rookie, right?
If this was...
Isn't Garrett a rookie?
I don't know.
I think he is.
If this was a young quarterback, if it was a rookie, if it was a young quarterback that's trying to get his footing, I could see Garrett Wilson being complimentary to try to help him feel pretty good about... But for him to be like, yeah, this is it's a more receiver-friendly pass. That tells you what he's been getting from Zach Wilson isn't what he likes.
A more receiver-friendly pass.
To me, is a shot. Okay, I'll put it like in a defensive tackle's perspective. And, you know, they ask the linebacker, hey, I see that Hans Olsen's out and you've got so-and-so. You got Warren Sapp in because Warren Sapp had a Super Bowl at the time. You got Warren Sapp back. Well, yeah, well, Warren Sapp does a much better job of taking on a double team. I'm more free and clear to make a tackle. He does his job better so I can do my job better. Well, I would be like, hey, jerk. You and I got a lot of years together.
I'm right here, man.
I just had a little bit of a bump in my knee. And
yeah.
I'm going to be back in a couple of weeks. Mr. It's more passer or receiver friendly. I wouldn't be happy about that.
Yeah, I wouldn't be happy about it either.
There's some things I dismiss. I wouldn't be happy about
it. I watched Joe Flacco play for the Broncos. Garrett, you don't want that. You don't want it.
It's not more receiver friendly,
no,
Garrett.
No. All right. Miles with us one more time. Oh, we'll get Miles here in just a second. So we wrap up the show.
Remember, join us for tomorrow's show, number 13 in our 60 and 60.
Hey, where are we going to be at tomorrow?
We are going to be at Larry H. Miller Used Car Supermarket.
Is it the one that I'm hoping?
It is the Murray location.
Oh, I'm going to drive that Tesla again.
Yeah, I'm hoping that Tesla's still on the lot. And I want Johnny V, the manager up there, to get in the car with us. Take us for a spin.
Oh, jeez.
Because you and I...
My face hurt driving that thing.
We were very careful.
Yes.
In that $120,000 vehicle.
I've never been more nervous in my life than driving that vehicle.
But yeah, I believe we are at the Murray location tomorrow.
All right. Hans and Scotty joining us now. Miles from Wasatch Medical. Miles, we can't thank you enough for coming on. There's a lot of guys out there that have heard you and Andrew for so many years come on the radio station. And they maybe have punched the number in but haven't hit send yet because they're a little nervous. Now's the time to get it done because if you're struggling in the bedroom, it's not going to get any better on its own.
It's not. And let me speak directly to that one guy who maybe never pushed that send button. You don't have to live with ED. You're still very much a man. You're going through a medical condition. It's like eyesight. It's worth the thumb gesture to hit send and to give us a call so we can get you on the other side of ED, pain-free, recovery-free, side-effect-free, using a technology that treats the root cause of ED. We make it free for you to do so. All you got to do is pick up the phone and call. And again, we'll say it to this one guy. That exam, that assessment, the blood flow ultrasound, just to give you peace of mind, is all free of charge. We'll give you a gift just for coming in because we like you and we want to help you get on the other side of ED. It's all worth hundreds of dollars, guys. If you're not ready to talk on the phone, at least chat with us online at wasatchmedicalclinic.com. Ask all the questions you want. But remember, taking the first steps to getting on the other side of ED, treating the root cause without side effects, is just a phone call away at 801-901-8000.
801-901-8000. That's 801-901-8000. And remember, this has an end date, right? This isn't a continual service in anywhere from 2 to 4 weeks. You could have this thing wrapped up.
Yeah, I mean, even hopefully by the first game of the football season, we could get you on the other side of it.
There you go.
You know, not everything works for everybody, but let me tell you, this is 100% worth a shot.
801-901-8000. Miles, thanks so much. We appreciate it.
Thank you, guys. You bet.
801-901-8000 right here on 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone.
I'm Dave Cawley, investigative journalist and host of the podcast, Cold. In October of 1985, a woman named Cherie Warren left work at a busy Salt Lake City office
to meet her estranged husband at a downtown auto dealership.
She never made it home. Cherie's car surfaced weeks later in Las Vegas.
In the parking lot of a hotel casino.
No one knows how it got there.
Strange. It was strange.
Both Cherie's estranged husband and her boyfriend raised suspicion for investigators.
I kind of thought that he might have done something.
But no arrests were ever made. In Cold Season 3, we dig into double lives, make new connections in the case, and examine the difficulty raised by reasonable doubt.
We want answers just as much as anyone else.
They have creeps like that now, too, so nothing's changed.
That's the new Cold Season 3, The Search for Cherie. Now available anywhere you get your podcasts.